Good morning, everybody. In a moment, we're going to get back to David Icke. When we do, we're going to tell you how to get his book. And by now, I've got a feeling you definitely are going to want it. So if you're prepared, it's coming up next. David, you've got a number of books out. If somebody was going to, if you were going to recommend that somebody buy one of your books right now, which one would you be recommending?
It would be And the Truth Shall Set You Free.
And the Truth Shall Set You Free.
Yeah, it's 500 pages of constantly sourced and highly detailed information, which takes the theory out of conspiracy theory and shows that this is happening. And it's not just someone's kind of imagination. The cross-referencing of names and information and subject areas is stunning. Because the evidence is there. What did they say? The truth is out there. It certainly is if you want to look for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I understand right now, as in this moment, they can call the number and there's actual people there?
That's right, yeah. Some very dedicated people who are trying to make sure this information gets out. 1-800-321-9054.
All right. That's 1-800-321-9054, and they can actually call right now. Now, normally, on any other day, this special deal tonight, I guess, any other day, it's between 8:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the afternoon. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, but folks, if the lines are busy, please keep trying. No matter what you do, write the number down. Get this book, 1-800-321-9054, and the truth shall set you free. David, who's winning right now? In other words, if this elite genealogy that is in control and trying to grab control and creating incidents, God knows we're having plenty of them, buildings blow up in Oklahoma, Marines are blown up in Lebanon and in Arab countries and on and on and on, and now it's coming home, you know. If you really looked at it, and you looked at, well, are we becoming a freer people, or are we becoming a more enslaved people? I'm not very optimistic about the way it's going right now.
Well, the Chinese have a word, and the same word means crisis and opportunity, and we are at a big point of crisis and opportunity. Every crisis is an opportunity. Just to give you a quick symbolic story of the situation as I see it. I had a comedian friend who died back in England in 1995, and at his memorial service, a story was told about something that happened to him, which was a funny story, but it's stunning in its symbolism of the time we're in and where the true power lies. He was in an all-male show in the 1960s going around the music halls, and he used to do kind of female impersonation and stuff. And the last scene was all the men in the show came on the scene. It was a great show, you know, really classy, dressed as sailors, singing Rule Britannia. And they formed themselves into a pyramid on the stage, leaving a bit at the top for this guy to come on. Larry Grayson, his name was. And he came on at the end while this music was building up and the singing was going on, dressed as Britannia, you know, with the shield and the
sure.
helmet and all that stuff.
Oh, sure.
And he was manhandled to the top of the pyramid for the big finish. And in his own words, in this thing that was, this piece was read at his memorial service, he said, one night things seemed to be going rather well. And he's at the top of this pyramid for the big finish. And he said, but one night, he said, one of the sailors in the bottom left-hand corner of the pyramid, he said, got rather a cough. And he said, eventually, this little sailor boy is coughing his guts up, and he can't hold his position anymore, and he fell out of the pyramid. Now, of course, what happened was the whole pyramid collapsed, and Larry Grayson, the symbolic of this elite at the top, ended up in the second row. And what had happened there is an ordinary man and sailor in the street had got a cough, stepped out of the pyramid, and the whole thing had collapsed. What we've been manipulated, Art, to believe is that the power in a pyramidal structure is at the top. That's where the power isn't, unless we give it away. The power is in the base of the pyramid, which is holding the top there. But what happens is that we are persuaded to give our power away all the time to this authority at the top of the pyramid, And the power that is used to control the human race every day is merely the power the human race gives away every day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key aspects, and again, if you follow the story and the techniques from the ancient world to today, if they work, keep using them, and that's certainly what's happened, a key element has been to divide and rule the base of the pyramid, if you like. So we've had religions created, and if you follow the process, first of all, a religion is created. That creates conflict with another religion you've created. Then these individual religions, they're then broken up at one point or other into warring factions. So you've got the religions fighting among themselves and fighting with other religions. Then you bring in politics, and you do the same. You bring in business and you do banking and all this stuff, and you keep bringing in all these means for conflict. And symbolically, what's happening, more than symbolically, if you look at the pyramid, is the base of the pyramid, instead of looking up and saying, who's pulling the strings of all of us, we're fighting among ourselves. I see it, you must see it too, in the subject areas that are discussed on this show, in the UFO research area, in the conspiracy research area.
Oh, yes.
It's like, honestly, it's like we say in England, it's like handbags at 10 paces. I mean, if we don't stop trying to be superior over each other, trying to gossip about each other and undermine each other and all the rest of it, we've got to start uniting as a people, and in areas of this research, we've got to start uniting on what we agree on. And respecting differences instead of allowing ourselves to be disunited, therefore divide and ruled, on what we don't agree on. Because it doesn't matter if you're into Judaism, or you're a Christian, or you're a New Ager, or you're a UFO buff, or whatever, we're all gonna get the whirlwind unless we start working together and helping each other and supporting each other and uniting behind the thing that we all depend on, and that's not just continuing freedom, it's actually having it for the first time in a very long time. So if we allow ourselves to be divided and ruled, therefore the fighting among ourselves, then the few are going to go on string pulling both sides. Because this is a thing I think we need to appreciate, is that if you're going to control a game, say it's a football match, if you control one side, then you're going to influence the game massively, but you're not going to control the outcome, because you have an unknown quantity, which is the other team. So what this brotherhood does, as I said right at the start of our chat, it is one organization that works through many organizations. It works through both sides. So it will be at work in the UFO community, creating conflict, divide and rule, putting disinformation in there. It's the same in all areas. In this conspiracy research, it puts people in there to divide and rule and mislead. And so we've got to start getting streetwise and starting to filter information and look at it without taking it on face value, including what I say. And we've got to start working together as a unit, instead of allowing this divide and rule to go on, because just look at the world.
Without David, without intervention, what kind of timeline do you see?
The if you look at the Gregorian calendar and the way it's been structured, to focus consciousness on the end of a cycle across what we call the millennium. Now, there's a number of things that are going to unfold here. I've already talked about the fact that many chaos cards will be played to create fear, to create division, and therefore have a global demand for something must be done, and then the agenda comes in. But also, whenever you get to a end of a cycle or a definite point or what appears to be a point in time, especially the end of a millennium, you get the consciousness start to think about, well, let's draw a line here. Let's look at all the conflict we've had in this century. Look at all the conflict we've had up to this point in this millennium. Let's start again. Let's have a new world. Let's have a blank sheet of paper. And if you can create chaos in the run-up to that and across that point, that even more encourages this mentality of, come on, we've got to start again, we need a new world. And if you can then control the nature of that new world, and you persuade people that centralization of power is people coming together, then you can put in global centralized institutions, and you can mask them as the world coming together as one. I've talked to people, for instance, Art, in this area that's called the New Age, and they equate oneness, the world coming together as one people, with world government, world central bank, world army. Not everybody, but a significant numbers. And we need to see the difference between people coming together, having power over their own lives in their own communities, cooperating with each other across national borders, looking after each other, caring for each other, and what is actually the opposite of that, centralized institutions that are designed to put power into tiny number of hands at a global level. And I'll give you an example of where it's going, and this is already happening. When the European Central Bank for the European Union comes into force, as it is now, the currency of Europe, which will be one currency, the interest rates and what happens about that currency across the whole of Europe will be controlled by six unelected bankers with an eight-year guaranteed period of tenure. And not even the elected part of the European Union will be able to influence or override the economic decisions of those bankers. That's fascism. And if you look at the fascist symbol from which we get the word fascist, it's actually an ancient Roman symbol, which is a series of rods tied together very tightly with an accent at the top. That's where we get the word fascism from, that Roman symbol. I've just described the European Union, which is countries tied together tightly under a centralized bureaucratic dictatorship. And, of course, NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, is designed to create, in stepping stones, the America's version of the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the European Union, what we joined in Europe, was not a centralized bureaucratic dictatorship, which we now have.
But we
actually joined a free trade area.
But
that's
David,
what it was supposed to be.
Right, but David, don't we need it? If we want to compete with the Asian bloc and the European bloc, we have to do that, don't we?
Well, this is an interesting point. Again, we get the word compete and we get the word blocs. Because this goes back so far, and it has to. I mean, you cannot create the structures of manipulation that we have today in a few minutes, a few years, a few decades.
But David, it's also a natural evolution. In other words, first we had little villages. They traded with other villages. Then cities trading with cities. Areas trading with areas. States trading with states. Nations trading with nations. And now blocks of nations trading with blocks of nations. And then obviously next a one-world economy.
Yeah, the question is this: when you follow the story and you see how the agenda has actually been unfolding over a very long period of time, is that a natural or is that created? When you look at the way that the whole thing's unfolded, like I said, you look at this century, but you go further back, and what you've just described actually is the process over this period of time that I'm talking about, thousands of years, and it's got quicker and quicker the more that these bloodlines have expanded their power, particularly after the expansion of the European and particularly British empires across the world, which took these bloodlines right across the planet. This thing's advanced and got quicker. But what you've just described is the process of power going into fewer and fewer and fewer hands.
Absolutely.
Now, where's it going to end? If this continues, it's going to end with the very agenda that is demonstrably being introduced now, which is complete centralization of global power. I mean, how ludicrous that we have in Europe, and this is just the stepping stone before the global level, that European laws made by bureaucrats in Brussels override nationally, apparently democratically decided laws in the individual countries. And that's just the blueprint which is being prepared for the global level, where what is dictated to at a world government level will override decisions made in your community, decisions made in your country. We're going to have a global fascist state. But of course, if that was offered openly, there'd be a reaction against it. So it's being done stepping stone style, one step following another, leading in this direction, while each step is projected in the public arena as completely unconnected to the other.
How do you know it's inevitably going to be fascist? I certainly agree that we're headed toward a single control ultimately, but how can you be sure of the nature of that control?
Well, all you've got to do is look, and the research is possible, at the people who are pressing for this to happen. If anyone's not got curly hair or hair that stands on end, then they will do when they read The Biggest Secret, because in February, because I've exposed what these major players are involved in. People like Kissinger, whose power didn't end when he ceased to be Secretary of State. He operates through an organization called Kissinger Associates, and that would make anyone's hair curl when you see what that's involved in. And you look at the major players and the names that keep coming up, and you look at what they're involved in. It's just utterly staggering what they're involved in. The royal family in Britain, when the story comes out, it's going to in the book, what they're involved in, it is utterly, utterly grotesque and staggering. So you look at the personalities, the attitudes of the people who are pressing for this centralization and are manipulating it, and my goodness me, you can see where they're really coming from. And, you know, we've got to, I think, see the difference, as I said earlier, between centralization of power and cooperation. I have no problem with global organizations that coordinate between nation states and people in their communities, that create networks of cooperation so we can help each other and all that stuff. No problem with trading and all that stuff if it's done on a fair basis. But the further that decision-making goes from the people affected by the decisions, the worse the decisions become. And now we're in a situation, we're one step away, indeed we're closing in on it fast, where decisions that fundamentally affect 5 billion or more people will be taken by a literal handful. And that is fascism. But of course, fascism and communism are the same thing. It's still centralization of power and dictatorship. It's just a different name on the door and a different dress on. That's
all. You cannot imagine a benign dictatorship.
Well, I think it's a contradiction in terms. if we're going to be free, we need to be free to have control over our own lives and not be dictated to by anyone. And for me, three things would change this world and change our lives. One, as individuals, we step out of the biggest prison that we live in, and the prison that allows this manipulation to go on and always has, the fear of what other people think of us. Once you're in fear of what other people think, you are no longer living your life, you're living theirs. And if you can set the agenda of what is, like I said earlier, this hassle-free zone of what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's moral or immoral, what's sane or insane, then you set the agenda of how people judge each other.
All right, David, I think I've got it. Hold it right there for a moment. As we close this hour, we're going to take calls next hour. Yes, we're going to take calls. And I think David has made a very cogent presentation. If you would like his book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, call right now, 1-800-321-9054. That's 1-800-321-9054. If you want a copy of this entire program, beginning to end, 5 hours, you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. I can well understand you might want a copy of this one. 1-800-917-4278 to get a copy of this program. That will do it for this hour. In some markets, when we get back, we'll take calls. Don't move.